I was in retreat at Emory House about the third Sunday of Advent in 1993. And Emory House is a monastery of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, those monks up in Boston that I go to visit, you know, once or twice a year. And I went up there in Advent to prepare for the Christmas season and to prepare for a very important year in my life, the year in which I would be ordained elder. And I went up for a retreat at Emory House, which is their country monastery just south of the border with New Hampshire, a wonderful farmhouse that was built in the 1700s and given to this community of monks by the Emory sisters. It was a wonderful place to go, to get away from the hustle and bustle of life, to get away from the insanity of the city, to get away from the noise and the confusion of the modern life, and truly be secluded away, out of reach and out of touch. After 2 years of ministry in the North Texas Conference following my graduation from Duke, it was time for me to set aside a few hours, a few days, to simply pray, to be apart from the insanity of this life. While I was there, it snowed. Oh, did it ever snow. I mean, when I got there, it was cold, and you could feel it in the air. It was going to come, and I was already told by Brother Eldridge that it would be snowing up a storm. And sure enough, my second night there, as I was walking back down to the hermitages, the monastery house itself is this large house up on a hill, but down the hill, close to this river that runs behind the monastery, are about 25 independent little cottages along the riverbank. They're called hermitages. It's where you may go for your retreat and be separate from other people, truly on your own. There are bathroom facilities there. There are even small kitchenette facilities there. It's a wonderful place to go to be away. And I was walking down on the path that led to the hermitage where I was staying, and I was noticing that there were these tiny little flakes that would just touch my hand, and I could barely feel it on my hand and on my face. Snow, something that we're not used to here in Texas. And it started little, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. All night long, it snowed like crazy. And I woke up in the morning, and there was white everywhere, and I was excited, and it was still coming down, nearly blizzard conditions. And I walked up for morning prayer and had morning prayer with the monks, and then went up again for Eucharist at 7:45 and went back down and read some more and did some praying. And then about 11:45, I went back up for noonday prayer. And it had stopped snowing, and the clouds had broken, and the sun was shining through. And as I was sitting in that chapel, you could look out through these large bay windows, and you could see down towards the river. And you could see the snow that covered everything, that blanketed everything. And the light from the sun reflecting off the snow was so bright, it was blinding. I couldn't see anything for the blinding light reflecting off the snow. And as I was looking at this blinding light, as I was waiting for the monks to file in, I noticed there was something strange in the distance. And as I watched, the more I watched, out of the glare of the sunlight reflecting off the snow, there came these tiny little specks. And as I watched, I realized they were men, monks in their black habits, walking up the paths from some of the other hermitages to go to noonday prayer. And I couldn't see them until they got right up to the side of the monastery for the brightness, for the sheer brilliance of the sunlight reflecting off the snow. And that day, that noonday, one of the scripture readings for noonday prayer was this passage. And it struck me. The angel said unto Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The power of the Most High, one of the word used in Greek here is the same word that we take the word dynamite from. The power, the dynamite of God. The powerful brilliance and awesome majesty of God. The brilliance. The blinding brilliance of God will overshadow, will drown you out, literally. And you will conceive. In other words, the humanity of Mary, the simple fact that she was a virgin, the simple fact that she was unworthy to give birth to the Son of God, the simple fact that she was a simple girl, not quite yet able to conceive, the simple fact that she was a virgin, wasn't a problem, wasn't an impediment to God. But the Holy Spirit and the power of God would overshadow her, would literally drown out the speck that she was and fill her completely. That's really and truly the whole meaning of Christmas. Our sinfulness, our humanity being completely overcome by the awesome majesty of God. In Jesus Christ, we have God incarnate. God coming to be with us. God coming to live as one of us. God in human flesh. It's a theological proclamation that is absolutely meaningless to us. We have to accept it on faith. The idea that Jesus was fully God, and at the same instant, at the same time, also fully man. Now, there have been many debates throughout the centuries as to how Jesus could be fully God and fully man. There were many people who said, yes, he was fully God and fully man. He was fully man in his body, and he was fully God in his soul. The group of Christians who used this argument were called Apollinarians. And I actually love this particular heresy because it makes sense to me. The soul is the spiritual part of the human being. The body is the physical part of the human being. And so Jesus could be fully human in his body and fully God in his soul, right? Wrong. Because if Jesus didn't have a human soul as well as a human body, he wasn't fully human. And so the church said no. Jesus had a human body and a human soul and a divine body. And a divine soul. Jesus was fully human and fully divine at the same time. And some people say, yeah, but 1 + 1 = 2. How can he be all of one thing and all of something else that isn't the same thing? And I say, well, it's not addition, it's multiplication. What's 1 × 1? 1. Interesting, isn't it? How we try to put human ways of thinking and human conceptions upon the things of God. And in reality, what we are called to do is hear the proclamation of Scripture, hear the proclamation of the faith, hear the proclamation of the early church and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe it. This proclamation is a simple one. But a young girl, prepubescent, just barely coming into that time in her life when she might be able to conceive, but not yet quite there. A young girl who's a virgin conceives by the power of the Holy Spirit. God incarnate. God, the creator of the universe, God, the Word, was made flesh in her womb. She is overshadowed, and God is conceived and born into the world. That's a simple message. But what it means for you and for me is not so simple, because what it means for you and me is frankly what it meant for Mary. For just as Mary was called to be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit and conceive in her womb the Word of God made flesh, so also we are called to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceive in the womb of our hearts the Word of God in the Holy Spirit. We are called to conceive in the womb of our hearts by faith the very presence of Jesus Christ and to be that presence to all the world. Just as Mary was called to give birth to the Christ child into the world, so also we are called to give birth to the Christ child through faith in Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Christian story of Christmas, the Christian story of the birth of Jesus, isn't just a story about history that happened almost over 2,000 years ago, 2 to 4, 6 BC, somewhere in that period. It's not just a history story. It's not just a story about what happened then to Jesus. It's also a story about what could happen to you and me. Just as those monks coming up that hill along that path were overshadowed by the brilliance, overpowered by the brilliance of the sunlight reflecting off the snow, so also we are called to be overcome, to be overshadowed, to be drowned out, if you will, by the brilliance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So that just as Mary conceived in her womb the Word of God made flesh, so also we can conceive in our hearts by faith the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. That's the story of the incarnation of Jesus made simple. That's the story of Christmas made simple and made present and relevant today. It's not just history. Something that we are called to hear and proclaim and live ourselves today. As we approach Christmas in these last few days before Christmas, as we approach the celebration of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ in the little town of Bethlehem of Judea, let us truly say yes, as Mary said yes. Let us truly say, here I am, let it be unto me according to your word. Let us do what Mary did and submit to the will of God and allow ourselves to be overshadowed, to be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the majesty of God. And let us conceive in our hearts the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we too might give Him to the world. Mary's calling wasn't just to be the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. She was called to give Him up, to turn Him over, to release Him, to do the will of God. She did. And 33 years later, she was one of the few who stood at the foot of the cross and watched as her baby boy died. The Christmas story, the story of the incarnation, is the story of the coming of God to be with us and to die for us. The story of the incarnation for us personally is the story of Jesus Christ coming into our lives so that we might give that wonderful presence to the world, so that we might give ourselves, so that the world might hear and know this good news. As we approach Christmas, let us not lose sight of this most important message, that He is the reason for this season. He is the reason we are here today. He is the reason we celebrate on December the 24th and December the 25th. He is the reason we will be singing a cantata on December the 23rd. He is the reason we have these big parties and these big programs and these big cantatas and these big celebrations, these parties and all of this wonderful fun. We're celebrating His birthday. Yes. But more importantly, we're celebrating His coming to be with us today. Let us give thanks to God. And as we approach the throne of grace, as we approach the altar, and as we receive the elements of communion, let us give thanks to God truly that He comes to live within each and every one of us. And let us go forth towards Christmas, proclaiming the good news that our Savior has come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are there any prayer needs in the congregation this morning? Yes. Slowly slide. The tests that they ran on LD were highly inconclusive. They said there was no sign of cancer in his brain, so they do not know why he is incapable of maintaining consciousness. He'll wake up